Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 17 of Revelation chapter 10, and we're going to be reading verses 10 and 11. Revelation 10, verses 10 and 11. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. I'll stop reading there. Now, we were looking at the word honey in our last study, and we saw how God ties that word together with his word, the Bible. And his book, the Bible, the word of God, is sweet as honey. We read in Psalm 19 in verses 9 and 10, and also Psalm 119 in verse 103. Let me read that again. That's probably the best verse in the Bible to show this, in Psalm 119, 103, How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And so God's people read the Bible. Of course, we don't literally eat the words. We read them. We hear them with our ears. But spiritually, God likens it to partaking of sweetness, of a honeycomb. And for instance, Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah chapter 15 states in verse 16, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Jehovah, God of hosts. And of course, the words that God gave to Jeremiah were very grievous. They were full of lamentations and woe. It had to do with God's judgment upon his own people. And so too, we're reading words of judgment in Revelation 10. Keep in mind, it's set in the context of the second woe. One woe was passed. We read back in Revelation 9, verse 12, and there comes two woes more hereafter. And then verse 13, the sixth angel sounded, and that was the second woe. And this is all within, from Revelation 9, 13 into Revelation 10 and into Revelation chapter 11. We're reading information that accompanies that second woe. Now, God, of course, has the ability to go back in time or to discuss other things within the context of the second woe. But Revelation 10 is a chapter that is focused in on Judgment Day. And verses 10 and 11 that we just read are the main point of the whole chapter. The eating of the book, the little book that had been opened, the Bible, it is sweet to the mouth of John, who is typifying all believers, as all the word of God is. And even words of wrath and judgment, such as were given to Jeremiah concerning his own people, were eaten, and they rejoiced his heart. This is the nature of the child of God. We love receiving the word of God. We love hearing it. We love learning about it, even when the subject matter sometimes is unpleasant. Sometimes it's just very sorrowful and very grievous, and that was the case with Jeremiah, and it's the case with this information concerning the judgment upon the world. And that's why it's sweet on one hand, but then it goes on to say in Revelation 10 in the last part of the verse, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Now we also spent some time looking at the word bitter, and we saw how it does relate to wormwood in Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And we followed the word wormwood into the Old Testament and a couple of times in Jeremiah and also in Lamentations. God speaks of giving wormwood to the false prophets of Judah, to giving wormwood or that which is bitter. And he also identified it with gall, giving them gall to drink, that which is bitter, and it points to God allowing their gospel to be turned into a gospel that cannot save. And that's exactly what is happening in Revelation 8 in verses 10 and 11 with the judgment of God upon the third part of the rivers and the fountains of waters, the waters, the gospel water, the water that was abundantly flowing forth from the churches of the world, and those waters that God used to save the first fruits throughout the period of the church age were now polluted. They became bitter watered. The picture, except in reverse, can be seen in Exodus when the Israelites had come out of Egypt, and of course they required water. There was a desperate need for water. And we read in Exodus 15 in verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Now, here we have the Israelites coming upon a water hole that is already bitter. And even though they are thirsty, as a matter of fact, they're extremely thirsty, wandering under a hot sun for 3 days. And they had no water. I mean, just think of not drinking any water or any liquid for 3 days, and you're out in the sun, and the sun is beating down upon you. You know that you're very desperate for a drink of water. And yet, despite that desperation, when they come to a place where there's water, and it's bitter water, Marah, they cannot drink. They could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. So bitter water does not provide a solution to thirst. And remember, the problem of men is a lack of thirsting after righteousness. Only the elect are granted that kind of a thirst, and only the true gospel of the Bible, the gospel that God has ordained, can satisfy the thirst that God instills within his elect people who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And if everything is in its proper time and season, God satisfies and quenches that thirst in salvation as the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the righteousness by his righteousness, as it says in Romans, by the obedience of one, many are made righteous. And that spiritually, it satisfies the thirst of a sinner. But when there's a time of famine, not a famine of bread or of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord, then that thirst cannot be quenched. And when water is bitter, well, the bitter water does nothing. It cannot take away the thirst. Now, in the case in Exodus 15, in verse 24, it goes on to say, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto Jehovah, and Jehovah showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. In this case, this historical incident, the bitter waters were turned to sweet through the casting of a tree into the water. And spiritually, the tree would relate to the cross, as the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus was hanged on a tree. And it is Christ that turns the water into sweet water that can satisfy thirst. Again, pointing to hungering and thirsting after righteousness through the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung upon the tree from the foundation of the world. Hanging on a tree is just language to indicate one becomes accursed of God, and Christ was accursed from the foundation of the world, and therefore, spiritually, it was at that point that he hung upon a tree, and the casting of that atoning work of Christ into the waters purifies them, sweetens them, and allows the Israelites to drink and to have their thirst quenched. And that it is a picture, a wonderful picture of the gospel. Now in Revelation 8, it's the end of the church age, the end of the waters that have been flowing forth, the waters that God opened like rivers in the wilderness. And now it's time to cut off those waters. And so the waters are made bitter. But in our verse in Revelation 10, it's not the church that's in view. God's already addressed that with a judgment on the third part, a judgment on their rivers, a judgment on their fountains of waters. They're turned and made bitter, and bitter water you cannot drink. And so if you can't drink it, you will remain thirsty. You'll remain in need of righteousness, is really what that points to. There will be no imputed righteousness to the sinner who is given bitter water to drink. It just cannot be a satisfaction to the thirst of a sinner. Well, now as soon as John ate the little book, and it was sweet as honey, and as soon as he had eaten it, his belly was made bitter. Why that word? The word that identifies with the turning of water. This is talking about a book. And what does the book have to do with water? Well, again, that little book having been opened, we know represents the Bible. And it's the Bible that really brings the spiritual waters of the gospel into the world. And okay, but what about John's belly? Why is it referring to John's belly? Well, let's first, before we try to answer that, let's go back to the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to see that Ezekiel did something very similar. God had him do something very similar to the apostle John. In Ezekiel chapter 3, well, actually, we're going to back up to Ezekiel 2 and verses 8 through 10. It says, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. So here we have very similar language. The roll, of course, is pointing to the scripture in ancient time when God would move a prophet of old to write and to record his word directly from his mouth. They would write it down upon a roll or a scroll. It would literally roll up. And that is how much of the Bible was written, upon a scroll. And here the scroll representing the Word of God, the Bible, is presented to Ezekiel, and God commands him, eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. And just as John was obedient, Ezekiel was very obedient. In verse 2 of Ezekiel 3, so I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Now, this relates, if we had read, anybody can, of course, go back to Ezekiel chapter 2 and the first couple of verses. We're not going to read it now. And you'll see that Ezekiel is commanded to stand upon his feet, and the Spirit of the Lord enters into him. And then he begins to speak and pronounce condemnation against the rebellious nation of Israel. And this identifies with the time when the two witnesses stood upon their feet, the two witnesses representing the Word of God. And after the first part of the Great Tribulation, the period where they were lying dead in the street for 3.5 days, which ties in with the 2300 evening mornings, that first part of the Great Tribulation. Then they stood upon their feet in September of 1994, as God began to once again evangelize the world with the gospel. And so Ezekiel was commanded to stand upon his feet and to pronounce condemnation on the house of Israel, a rebellious house. Likewise, the true believers, as God's word instructed, we shared the message that the judgment was upon the churches, a rebellious house. So this passage in Ezekiel 2 and Ezekiel 3 identifies with God's judgment on the churches. And God is commanding Ezekiel to eat the roll. He does. It is sweet in his mouth. And then we find in verse 4 of Ezekiel 3, he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. And so forth. The house of Israel is mentioned a few more times. And again in verse 9, just so we know that it's the corporate body, the church, that is referred to here by the house of Israel. God tells us that as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And so it is God instructing Ezekiel to stand on his feet, to go forth, to stand on one's feet, points to being sent with a message from God, sent with the word of God, sent with the gospel in this case, and go forth. And part of the message had to do with declaring that Israel was a rebellious house. Then in verse 14 of Ezekiel 3, it says, "So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of Jehovah was strong upon me." And there we find the bitterness. Just as John's belly was made bitter, the little book was sweet to his mouth, but it made his belly bitter. Likewise, Ezekiel had a bitter message to the house of Israel. God has forsaken you. The Holy Spirit has come out of the midst. The Lord Jesus Christ has abandoned you. And furthermore, God has loosed Satan to enter in. The abomination of desolation stands in the holy place. The man of sin has taken his seat in the temple. The beast has risen up out of the sea, and all whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world shall worship him. In the churches and out of the churches, all unsaved people who bear the mark of the number 666, the number of man, will serve the image and worship the beast, that and so forth. All of this ugly language. No wonder it was bitterness to his spirit. It was a very extremely sorrowful message that God unearthed from his word when he opened the scriptures to reveal that he no longer identified with the churches and congregations of the world. They no longer represented him. They no longer were his ambassadors to the peoples of the world. And so we can see that when you eat the roll and it leaves bitterness, or your belly is turned bitter as a result of devouring the word of God as instructed, that this brings a message that God's judgment is upon you, and that judgment has to do with the removal of the blessings, the removal of God's Spirit. Now, let's turn to John 7. And John 7 is going to tell us why God is focused on the Apostle John's belly. In John 7, in verses 37 and 38, it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" And there is the connection between the belly and water. Remember, we saw that the word bitter in Revelation 8 had to do with the rivers and fountains of waters that were turned bitter in the churches. But God is not using the language of third part in Revelation 10. He's using John, a true believer. John, who represents all true believers in the day of judgment. And John has the Holy Spirit within him. Therefore, John has, as it were, rivers of living water flowing forth out of his belly, as all of God's people do, because the Holy Spirit is the essence of the water of life. The Lord Jesus Christ and is the essence of the gospel water, and it comes forth naturally out of the redeemed sinner, naturally out of someone born again and given a new heart and a new spirit, given the Spirit of God indwelling them. And here, of course, how it works is when the child of God eats the Word of God that is sweet to our taste, then it ought to flow forth out of us through the Holy Spirit that God has given us. And in other words, flowing forth from our belly. And there's a few verses in the Old Testament where belly is identified with soul and spirit. And so we eat of God's word. That is, we learn the truth of the Bible and then we share it. And that's the process that God has developed. But however, in the day of judgment, as God's people are living on the earth, they continue, of course, to read the Bible. They continue to devour the Word of God, to learn as much as they can. And yet, what happens to the water of life that all through history would flow out of their bellies, that would flow forth and be a blessing to others? Well, their belly is made bitter, just like the water in the churches was made bitter. But it's not referring to the corporate body. It's not referring to pulpits and pastors. It's referring to the belly of a true believer. The belly where the Holy Spirit resides, in a sense. How could that water be made bitter? And the only answer is that answer that is becoming all too familiar. We find it at just about every turn as we search the Bible concerning judgment day, concerning the wrath of God. The answer is that the gospel water that the true believers would bring, they would gladly carry the water buckets and be servants of God in ministering to the congregation. We would gladly be as Lazarus and as the rich man desired that Lazarus just dip the tip of his finger in water and bring him a drop to drink. Oh, we would gladly bring much more than a drop. But all water, the water, the purest water, the water that comes forth from the Holy Spirit, from God himself, the Word of God, the Bible, as it flows forth, the life of the child of God is now made bitter because there can be no drinking of it to the satisfying of a thirsty sinner, the sinner that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. There is no longer imputed righteousness. There is no longer salvation. The righteous will be righteous still, and the filthy will be filthy still. There will be no conversion, no repentance from the heart, no salvation. And therefore, all water that flows forth from the belly of every one of God's elect to those that are not saved is but bitter water.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.